So if you will, find your Bible. There's plenty in the back corners over here. Same version I'm using. And open it up to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. You have given us a sense of great joy together here this morning. What you're doing in our lives and around us. And we come now to your word and we ask that you will open it up to us, that we'll be impressed in our heart with the gospel and your will for our lives. And I pray that this will be a fun passage for us to look at together, to know your will, to know your law, and to know our calling in it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And we pray it as you taught your disciples, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. All right. So we come upon this classic text about parents and children. It falls, interestingly enough, right on the heels of the marriage text in all of the Bible there at the last part of Ephesians chapter 5. I love sharing that with our pre-married couples. You know, it's got some hard-hitting stuff in there, but you get nowhere else the kind of concentrated teaching that you do in Ephesians 5 on what marriage is all about. So right on the heels of that, we have this passage extending the marriage bond into what it means to have children in the will of God. So we see this slight shift into family life in our text. Marriage is to lead not merely to making children. You know? And I found out that marriage does lead to making children. You know, I got five in my portfolio that have proven it to me over and over and over, but it's not merely to lead to making children. It's to lead to making disciples of Jesus Christ. Yeah? Verse 4. As it tells us to raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What is that more than the call of discipleship? You're not stopping with your call to your children with coinciding with when you're done changing their diapers, yeah? Or sending them to school or mustering the money to send them to school. We are to raise them up in the discipline of the Lord, in the instruction of the Lord, seeing them not merely become citizens of countries and citizens of cities and doing the right thing, having a good job and making money. No, there's something that transcends that entirely. And what transcends that is that parents are to work toward and pray toward seeing their kids become true disciples of Jesus Christ. We can teach them okay, or even every teacher wonders if they're effective at all. But Jesus teaches absolutely. There's not a crumb of his teaching that he plants in a heart that falls to the ground. It always does its work and always has its way. It's 100% efficient when Jesus Christ teaches somebody. And they are to be his disciples. Yeah? You know, maybe many of y'all remember growing up or having some kids around the time when there's a guy, a scientist named Bill Nye, the science guy. I was doing some shows and they were fun, and they would show some of the neat magical stuff about science, right? Well, he has now gone way political with his stuff. He says very recently, just on April the 28th, that big families are hurting the environment. Big families are hurting the environment. and suggested that people with too many children, or what he called extra children, ought to be penalized for having extra kids. Isn't that interesting? So someone suggested that Bill Nye the Science Guy needs to be renamed Bill Nye the Eugenics Guy, right? He has definitely overstepped some bounds according to his own training. But let's just shoot it straight. I have a degree in chemistry. I'm John Yule, the science guy. And let me just tell you, you can go so far in science. You can know a million things about a field in science. But unless your theology's straight, you're not a true scientist. It's a necessary component. Yeah? It's the air you breathe in science is the creation of God. Well, it makes sense if there is no God, what Bill Nye says. It just makes total sense. Because you're going to end up worshiping the creation around you. You're going to end up worshiping this earth and making the protection of it your chief end. And so perhaps if there is no God, we ought to listen to exactly what Bill Nye says. But in here, we don't believe there's no God. We certainly believe in a very specific Lord who is King of Kings over all things and has expressed himself to us through the Word of God and has told us how to live. In reality, God wants people to be fruitful and multiply, not to be worried about hurting the environment with having extra children. Not just to be fruitful and multiply, but to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Wow, that's the will of God. So, from our passage this morning, he begins to talk to most directly is the children in the room. Yeah, he talks to the children, and he wants children to do more than merely exist. More than just to be born from their moms and raised up in their homes and spit out in society and to work a job and then eventually die. God wants more than that. He has a will for them, according to our passage this morning. There's a will of God for the children in the world. And so I want to break that down here with our first point a little bit. I wish I could say so much more, but we only have a few minutes, eh? Here we go. It is God's will that children obey their parents. You imagine that? It says it right there off the first verse. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. That is God's will for children. He doesn't want you merely to exist. He has a word for you, kids. And that word for you is that he would have you obey your parents. Now, here on Mother's Day, ladies, you can send me thank yous later, because I know this will be a message that will pay many dividends in the future. Anyhow, kids, if you belong to Jesus Christ, if His Holy Spirit lives in you, which is the promise of the Lord when you become a Christian, a true bona fide Christian, His Holy Spirit is living in you, you know what? You ought to be the best kind of children in the world, the best the planet has to offer, has ever seen. Kids who love Jesus and are full of the Holy Spirit ought to be the best kind of children in the world. And the way to pursue that is to obey the will of God. And the will of God this morning is that you would obey your parents. Now, true children, true Christian children, stand out among the rest, not just because they love and obey Jesus, right? It's a little bit deeper than that, yeah? But also because they love Jesus by obeying their parents. And you want to know if a kid loves Christ, see if he's gripped by the commandments of God, and see if he's able to, or she's able to love Jesus by obeying her parents. First verse, let's have it up there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, obeying parents doesn't mean that you just merely listen to what they say. As garbage in, garbage out. You know, I've done that a bunch in my life. I'm just listening and it's going right out the other ear. That's not obedience to what a parent's will is. That's a lot of the way that we read the Bible, isn't it? We read it and then we leave the room and we forget what it says. It flows right through many times and we wonder, how come some of that didn't stick? It could be we're reading the Bible wrongly and not in a worshipful way and prayerfully, praying the Holy Spirit would stick the Word of God in our hearts. Maybe we're just reading it for pure information. That doesn't honor God. Even a non-Christian can read the Bible for pure information. We're to read the Bible supernaturally. And this pursuit of obeying parents is a supernatural pursuit. It's the will of God. You don't merely listen to them. It goes much deeper than merely listening, though you must listen to them. But it also means that you do what they say. You do what they say. Yeah? We can't merely listen to God and not do what He says. That's not obedience. It's listening to God and doing what God says we ought to do, right? Christian wisdom is practical. There's always a to-do about it. There's always a correction going on in our heart, an encouragement going on from the Word of God in our heart, some admonition pushing us in different directions, shaping our souls and our very lives when we encounter encounter with God and the Word of God. Well, not unlike children. Hearing what their parents say and doing what their parents say has a shaping influence inside of them. Kids, when you obey your parents, it's shaping you. It's an interesting dynamic. It's a spiritual dynamic. And just like with obeying the Lord, obedience comes with a certain kind of attitude. We were actually teaching this commandment to the children in Sunday school today, and Miss Lydia gave a wonderful example to the children. She said, what if your mom told you to clean your room, and you looked at her and said, I don't want to clean my stinking room. Oh, what goes on in the heart of that parent? Oh, man. You just feel disrespected, dishonored, you know, because of the attitude that accompanied going up to clean your stinking room. Yeah? So, obeying in a joyful and thankful way is a way to honor and obey your parents. It's the only way to honor them properly. It's the only way to obey God. What about every time we read a commandment and His will in the Scripture, we go huffing and puffing about it? You know, we're to do it joyfully. I've had plenty of times when my kids over the years, I've told them to do something, and you know what? They go, all right, and they jump up and just go do it. That impresses me. That really impresses me. And it does something in my heart as a leader over them, as a dad. It does something in my heart that blesses me. Yeah, it really blesses me. Just the attitude and the way that they do practice their obedience. So, if you will obey your parents with joy and thanksgiving, you will be doing exactly what the next two verses say to do, verses 2 and 3 in chapter 6. Let's have those. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, that's the New Testament, isn't it? Yeah? No, wait a minute. I've read my Old Testament. I'm flashing back. That's Old Testament. That is the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, dated all the way back to Exodus chapter 20. If you will obey your parents, kids, with a joyful, thankful attitude, doing what they say, Paul is linking that over to the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, that you're honoring your father and mother by doing what they say in that way. Isn't that amazing? Now, the Old Testament law, Jesus did not do away with it, throw it in the garbage can. Here it is, contemporary to Paul. He doesn't have to state it any way any other new way. He just states the old commandment. It was true for children back in the day, and it's true for children in the time of Paul, and it's true for children today. Yeah? I'll tell you, I feel the same way that a parent back in Moses' time felt when a kid would trot along joyfully and happily to do what you've asked them to do. All parents, it's universal for all parents for all time. Yeah? That's a biggie. Now, the fifth commandment. Still in effect today for kids and parents everywhere. Now, I want to show you a verse from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, if I can have that up there, Paige. This verse is unique because it'll tell all of us kids out there what it does inside of the heart of a parent when kids obey their parents. Obey your leaders, it says, and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, as you read that second sentence, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, first of all, you think, okay, that's for the child to do. That's for the one being looked after to do. No, it's not referring to the child having joy when obedience happens. It's referring to the leader having joy when obedience happens. Yeah? So it goes two ways. If you're obedient to your parents in a joyful and thankful way, it pays dividends back into the heart of the parent. They feel joy. And they can give a great account of this kid. You know, not only did they do what I said, but they did it joyfully. What a gift for moms on Mother's Day, yeah? To produce a little extra joy in their heart, now and into the future, kids. Obeying happily, so that mom will be blessed beyond all recognition on a day-to-day basis. You know, the best thing, though, is that when you honor your mom, you honor your parents, you know what you do? You're blessing Jesus. It's not just something you're doing in your parents' heart. It's something you're doing in Jesus' heart. He's blessed by it. Children who do not love Jesus do not honor their parents or please Jesus. Yeah? Kids who don't love Jesus just don't get it. But kids who love Jesus have a chance to get it because they have the Spirit to implement it. And they can do things that will bless Jesus through their parents. You know, the Bible speaks of the kind of kids who don't love Jesus and don't honor their parents. Classic verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Maybe y'all remember this one. It talks about times of apostasy and what people are like in times of apostasy. For people will be lovers of self. Good thing there's none of that going on around here these days. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Stands right out, doesn't it? That's what the ungodly do. They don't obey the fifth commandment. Children disrespect them and dishonor them all the time. Don't do what they say and only do what they want to do. And somehow, these days, kids have got their parents many times to where the parents always do what the kids say. I mean, it's been flipped. Light is dark and dark is light. It doesn't work well that way. We weren't created for that. It will be disastrous. Society will crumble with that thing going on right there. So when you joyfully obey your folks, kids, you're proving that the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're proving that you love Jesus. And you're proving that God is transforming you by His Spirit. Yeah? Into Christ-likeness. That's what obeying your parents is doing. It's proven a lot of stuff. So I encourage you. Now let's end with point two. Point two up there. This goes to the parents. It is God's will that parents disciple their children. Disciple. Maybe you thought it said discipline. No? I have it spelled right there, disciple their children. And I mentioned that right at the beginning of this sermon in verse 4. Verse 4, it speaks of bringing kids up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's nothing more than discipling them in Jesus Christ. In all the ways, in, with your words, with the Word of God, with what you do, with the way you act around them, the way you pursue Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times kids never pursue Jesus because they never see their parents pursuing Jesus. It's an active pursuit. You know, any romance dies if there's no pursuit. And that's true with Jesus too. Yeah? We invest in our relationship with Him and treasure Him. And kids can pick up on that. They know whether you're pretending or not. Kids, it's an amazing thing. They have this sense of being able to smell a pile of smelly stuff on the ground. Can I say that that way? Yeah, I think so. My father-in-law in his preaching days would have definitely said something like that. Right, Bob? Yes, indeed. So, verse 4, moms and dads, I want you to just consider for a moment the privilege and the responsibility that we have from the Lord. This joyful thing that falls into our laps, it's an ancient thing, to be able to have kids and raise them up. Just yesterday, I was at a baby shower. Yeah? We need to celebrate these things and encourage parents on what will begin to be one of the greatest tasks Jesus ever lays upon them. When I think about my own life and the success that I've had, it's defined in terms of these five little ones that I've got. That's right up there at the top. I don't know if anything else has happened in my life in ministry, but I do know my kids. And that's right up there for me. And it needs to be that kind of priority. Our neglect of this divine duty to disciple our kids has not only contributed to the breakdown of the family, but the deterioration of the culture. You know, your kids need more than love from you, though they do need love. If you don't, they don't think you love them, it's over. Game's over. That's foundational. But they also need to know that your heart beats for something. And they need to know your heart beats for the Lord. They need to know what you believe and why you believe it. They need to see your passion for it. If you never talk about it, never discuss it, never show it to them, they'll not value it, at least not coming from you. They may come around to value it in spite of you later on. So many kids in college come to Christ having not grown up in Christian families, having never had any influence of the Word of God in their lives. They come to Christ and then all of a sudden they feel a little bit disappointed that this greatest thing they've ever discovered, they never caught in their family life. But it need not be, yeah? Christian parents have this great privilege to impress the Lord upon their kids. Remember, having children is not our goal. Having spiritual children is our goal. Remember Romans 9:8. Paul's involved in a great discussion about Israel and the Gentiles and things of that nature. But he says, this means that it's not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise who are counted as His offspring. That applies directly here. Our mandate isn't merely to have fleshly children, but to have spiritual children. If you're not able to have children of the flesh, go out there armed with the gospel and make children in the Spirit. Amen. It's all the way through the New Testament. People not related to one another, calling one another mothers and fathers in the Lord. Yeah? In my life, the young men that I've been able to disciple, I'm not related to, that I'm indelibly linked to, those are children in the Spirit. So if you're infertile in terms of the flesh, grab the promise of God that He will give you many more times the children in the Spirit. The propaganda today is population control. Let's control the population, save the earth. Well, we're certainly not into that. But it does not stop at populating the earth. We are making disciples. Let's let the world limit themselves. Let's let them have no children. Let's let them have one child or two children. And there are many reasons why you can't have lots of children. My mother was told if she had more than two, if she went on to another one, she would likely die. Yeah? There are many reasons that come upon us providentially where we may not actually be able to have children. But let's not determine not to have children. Christian people should be determined to have as many children as possible. Spiritual children. And that can start in junior high. It can start in high school. You can be making spiritual children through sharing the gospel before you're ever married. And then once you're married, don't stop that. Keep making spiritual children in an ever-expanding godly family of people that the Lord has used you to influence for Him. Yeah? Let's let the world limit themselves. What we'll do is make disciples of our own children, and we'll make disciples of their children too. That ought to be our goal. That's why we do crazy, outlandish things like kid camp. Spending 2 weeks, listen to the insanity of this, 2 weeks from 9 to 3, right? Pouring our lives and the gospel into kids that we're not necessarily related to. Who would do that? And what motivation could you possibly have? We're not making any money from it. It could only be to make spiritual children. And you can be old and be involved in that. You can be beyond your years to carry a child in the womb and be vitally involved in something like that. Yeah? You know, it's right off the top of our key verses 1 to 4. The need to teach children under our authority. The need to teach them. Yes, that's a vital component. But it's not just a school. A family is not just a school to impart information. Yeah? You're teaching them about the Lord all together will be flushed right down the toilet. Right down the toilet. Everything you try to push into them will be flushed with one mighty flush if you are a parent who is distant, mean, and unloving. Just a plain jerk. They will flush it down the toilet. And you can see that's what Paul is sort of mitigating against. He talks about here in verse 4, don't provoke your children to anger. Let's just say something here. Those little guys can frustrate the mess out of you. Isn't that right? There are times when you say to yourself, I'm not so sure I want these kids anymore. Yeah? Can we be honest about that? They're not always the little bundles of happiness that you would want them to be. And they will test your sense of needing to be respected to the core. They will disrespect you more than anybody else on planet Earth on a regular basis. And you might wish them great harm. It could happen. It could happen. I'm not saying it has, but it could happen, right? But if you're distant, mean, and unloving, yeah, they will flush any of that down the toilet. They will flush it down the toilet. All parents struggle with the temptation to misuse their authority over their kids. Every one of us will. Every one of us does. So many of us today will make the wrong conclusion, the opposite conclusion. Yeah, that in order to correct a misuse of our authority, that we should just not have any authority at all. That it's better just that we're all totally equal in this house. Everybody gets the same say. No one gets to say one thing to another that has greater weight. Declaring your kids to be your total equals, that doesn't work. Yeah, you know why it doesn't work? Because we weren't created that way by God. If you try to run a home where you declare your children your utter equals in everything, your house will be even worse than you can imagine. It will be an increasing hellhole for you and your kids, where you cannot recover it. We all need to be under authority. You may declare your children are not under your authority. But let me tell you this, when you get out in that world and you have a job, you're under authority. If you live in a country, you're under the authority of the government. If you live in a state, you're under the authority of the state. Every one of us, not one of us can escape authority. And our children don't need to learn early on that authority doesn't matter. If we teach them that authority doesn't matter at a young age, how will they ever accept the authority of the Word of God? How will they ever accept the authority of God Himself in their lives if they haven't had to accept a lesser authority? It does great harm, and it's to the destruction of a country. If that is going on in our country, we don't need to fear some foreign invader. We are going to rot from within. No doubt about it. Now, you might ask why God has established the authority. What is it for? Why? Why would He do that? Why would He create us to need to be under authority? Let me tell you this. God uses the authorities over us to sanctify us, to be used in our life to make us more and more Christ-like. And if you aren't Christ-like and you don't know God, He uses the authorities in your life to show you your need of Him just in general. It's sometimes very hard to live under authorities. It will crush you. An authority can make you think you've got nothing to offer and you're worthless. Like a broken dish needs to be cast out. And that will run you to God in and of itself. God uses the authorities over us to sanctify us. And we need to live under those authorities as a part of God's plan to turn us more to greater Christ-likeness. Receive the authorities over you with joy. Our children do need instruction. But if it's instruction alone, it isn't good enough. They need moms and dads who will assert and live out their proper God-given biblical authority. So if you want to see raising up a child as sort of a two-pronged attack in this text, it's instruction and having a proper biblical authority implemented into their life. Don't just instruct and do away with authority. Don't just have authority and not instruct. Instruct and be in an authority over them. Yeah? There's the takeaway, moms and dads. And I hope that encourages you or even corrects you as it does me. Huh? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for a simple word about family life. It's simple but hard to implement. Crazy hard to implement. We need You, Lord. As people filled with Your Spirit, we want to be godly parents and godly children. We want to relate to one another properly, according to the will of God. Give us the courage to do it. And where we have failed, give us the Spirit to repent and to be remade and put on the right path by You. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Yeah.